Shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, we want to thank you once again this morning for sparing our lives to witness the beginning of another week. I want to thank you for seeing us through this past week. Thank you for your cares and mercy, protection, provision, your blessings in so many ways, your cares that we cannot fully express at this time. For we know that you care for us. We say, Lord, blessed be your name. Thank you for causing our souls, spirit, and body to escape the dangers, Lord, of this time. We are grateful to you. We are here in your house, Heavenly Father, Lord, to fellowship with you around your word and with our fellow believers. We pray this day, Lord, that you will show us your mercy, you show us your grace, Lord, that you give us discernment of the things that we will be hearing, Lord, today that you have prepared before the foundation of the world for us to feed on as the word of life, to produce, Lord, the faith of the Son of God in our hearts, as many as have not this faith yet, and that you take to higher ground as many as have been favored to be in possession of this eternal life. We are grateful to you because we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, you promise in your word to be there, Lord, to heal the sick, to fill with the Holy Spirit, to deliver the captives, Lord, to take the saints to higher ground, to do the miraculous, the things that you promise in your word. And Lord, we are praying that you will inspire faith in our heart this morning, Lord, to be able to draw from this, Lord, inexhaustible fountain of blessings of yours. Let it be, Father. We know, we have been taught by your prophet that we can get nothing from you without faith. Lord, we just pray, Father, that especially you are not our faith this morning, that you will cause your word to come to us, Lord God Almighty, inspired and anointed, Lord, to do our souls good. Let it be. Let your mercy stand for us, forgive our sins and shortcomings. Lord, let nothing stand between us and you, as we commit the entire service of the day to your hand, that you will take preeminence. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we know the devil is not happy, us coming to your house, but we know this is your will for us. Whatever the devil might want to do, Lord, to interfere with the service by bringing distractions, weakness and tiredness, may you raise a standard. Give us grace as individual, Lord, to cooperate with you, to stand by your word, to resist the devil, that the abundant blessing of you might be our portion. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless you. Lord, let the blessings of the entire services of the day be the portion of every one of us so that we can go back better than we came here. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Welcome ourselves to the house of the Lord as we open our Bible to Exodus chapter 3. We read from verse 1 to 12. Exodus chapter 3. From verse 1 to 12. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You can be seated. The Lord bless the reading, hearing of his word to our hearts. Praise be to God. I want to read Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, as we conclude. I've been saying it since this will be the third week I've been saying that we are concluding. Well, it's not because I don't want to conclude it, but chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared unto his servants, the prophets. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Praise be to God. Yeah, we're bringing this to conclusion. Trusting the Lord still. Because I just said that. That's what I have in mind. But, you know, may God help me. Praise be to God. The sermon is just looking fresh to me again. You know? But that does not mean that what I said, I don't mean it. I mean it. But the preachers understand what I'm saying. So, I want to call our attention to, like I said, to three major things that God does in every Exodus. And these three things are the crop of the sermon, which we must not miss. Very, very important. The prophet said, he sends, do every Exodus, God sends a prophet with a message. If you can remember, we have established the reason for Exodus. Where there's a reason for an Exodus. The first Exodus, the second Exodus, and the third Exodus. We have established reasons for them. So, God sends a prophet with a message. The second is that he sends the pillar of fire to vindicate that prophet. That he sent that prophet. And then the third thing is that he gives the token as an assurance to the believers of that message brought by that prophet. Those are the three things that he does. Praise be to God. All right. From the token, sermon token preached in 1963, September 1. That's in the morning. I'm reading from paragraph 188. Notice God's preparation for that time. Now, as we know that the Bible said all those things happen, for example, you see, to us. Notice, when God got ready to judge Egypt, first he made a preparation. What did he do at the first time? He never changes his order. The first time, when he made his preparation, he sent a prophet with a message. First thing he done to his people was sent a prophet with a message. He sends a prophet with a message. And that is why I just reflected on Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. For this age, we have gone through the scripture. The second text we read, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Malachi chapter 4. Please hold it. Just hold it. This. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Precisely 6b.
And then we have Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, which is the messenger to the Laodicean age. We also have Amos 3. Amos 3 verse 7, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophet. That also corroborates Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. Can you give us? Let's compare the two. Wait. Let me emphasize there. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as it has declared to his servants the prophets. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto who? His servants, the prophets. The mystery, back to Revelation 10:7. The mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. There are seven church ages, and we are in the last one. By the Lord Jesus Christ himself interpreting the seven stars on his right hand, tells us that there are seven church ages, not eight. And if there are seven church ages, he interpreted to us also the candlesticks, rather, which are the seven church ages, and the stars are the seven messengers. Not eight messengers. By the interpretation of that of Jesus Christ, corroborating the rest of the scripture, there is no eight messenger. That will be a theological teaching. That will be an error for anybody to listen to any preacher who will preach that. No eight age. The only eight age that we are expecting is what? That's when time ends. That's when time ends. Because when God rests on the seventh day, does he come back to his work again? The prophet says he has ever been resting. Those who are preaching that there are eight ages and eight messenger, you cannot have seven ages with eight messengers. By saying there are eight messengers, they are telling you there are eight ages. But that's from the scripture. You cannot find it in the scripture. There is no type of it. Remember, the prophet in his preaching, he will take from the Old Testament and use a type to give us an understanding, and you will see blending with the scripture, even with the ordinances of the children of Israel. You see everything. Seven days shall you eat this. 7 days shall you eat this. 7 days, and then in the eighth day you shall have convocation. Or the 7 days you shall have convocation. The Lord, our God, has revealed unto us his mind through the message of the messenger of the age. Praise be to God. And that is why the messenger comes with a message. It comes with a message. And that message is what is reflected in the message rapture. It's reflected in the message rapture. When the prophet was talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he was breaking it down. You know, the text that the prophet read when it comes to the rapture was not 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In fact, I was expecting that was what he was going to read the first time I was going to read the sermon rapture. You know, I presumed. But you know what he read? Psalm 27. That's what he read. The prophet understood the mind of God. Understood the scripture that talks about God's program. And he started with that, and then he linked it with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to come and explain the message, the program of God for this end time. Let's have this message rapture. I'm just trusting God to help us out. Paragraph 129. Paragraph 129 to 134. All right. I want us to pay attention, because God, in every Exodus, does three things. He sent a prophet with a message. And that message is to do something for the people. Now, I want you to notice a great thing taking place here. The prophet read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that's the text that he read here. Okay? Now, I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Don't miss this. See? Notice. The word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there are three things. Notice, from the 13th to 16th verse, there are three things that have to happen before the Lord himself appears. Quickly now, so we can close. See, the first thing happens, notice a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Are you following that? Let's read it now and see if that is right. For the Lord himself, 16th verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. 130. Three things happen. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Have to happen before Jesus appears. Now, Jesus does all three of them when he is descending. No other person does any one of them. Only Jesus does it. And that is why the shout is the message of Jesus Christ, not William Branham's message. Not William Branham's opinion. Not his theology. Not his idea. Just like message was given to Moses. That is how the message, that is why it is called, the law that God gave to Moses. The Ten Commandments. Was this Moses' law? Anybody who violated it then, was this Moses that was punishing them? Even the Sabbath that God commanded them to honor, when one of them violated it in that time, and he went to gather firewood, and they caught him, they brought him to Moses. What did Moses say? He said he has the man to wait that he does not know what God is going to say about it. Because he was not the one that instituted the law. It was not his message. He has to seek God to know the mind of God concerning what God wants done with this man who had violated his instruction. But the problem the people had was that they were thinking it was Moses' ideas. That the law, the commandment that Moses has given to them was, something that he and his brother hashed out. And he given to them. That's why many of them were rebellious along the line. But they suffered. God had to send the pillar of fire to vindicate his prophet so that the believers will believe him and then the unbeliever will receive their judgment. Praise be to God. All right. A shout. What is the shout? It is the message going forth. He sent a prophet with a message. That is the message going forth. To do what? The message going forth. First, the living bread of life. Bringing forth the what? The bride. That message is to bring forth the bride. Because it's the word of God that can only produce the bride. Bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes. He is the unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the heart until he first revealed to his servants the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. And he has done it. And he's doing it. You see? Now, we have come through the church ages, but we are promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that there will be a return again, a prophet in the land. That is right. Notice his nature, what he will be like. God uses the spirit of, that spirit five times. Once in Elijah, in Elisha, in John the Baptist, call out the church and the remnant of the Jews five times. Did you follow that? He uses the spirit five times. Once in Elijah, in Elisha, in John the Baptist. Then another one, call out the church. You see, call out the capital C church, the bride, the message. That's the prophet. William Miron Braham. You know, he didn't put his name there. That is the messenger. So, the one that the spirit of Elijah will be upon, according to Malachi chapter 4, will be the one to call out the church with the message that was given to him, being a prophet. You see? And the remnant of the Jews, five times, grace, Jesus, faith, and it is the number of grace. See? Now remember, the message is promised. And when all these mysteries have been also bundled up by a bunch of ecclesiastes, it will take a direct prophet from God to reveal it. And that's exactly what he promised to do. Now remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not to theologians. The prophet, he is a reflector of God's word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals. Even to the prophet Balaam, when he was trying to be sold, sell his right, he said, how can any prophet say anything but what God puts in his mouth? It is a thing that God does, that you can't say nothing else, and you are born that way no more than you call. Praise be to God. He sends a message. A prophet with a message. And it is the message is sent to the children of God. Those who are not God's children, they will look for addition here. They will look for subtraction here for their own destruction. That is it. And it is only one messenger. It is not a messenger plus. The problem that people have today, where they cannot stay with the message, is because they do not take the message that God said through the prophet as the absolute. As the absolute. They take fivefold preachers. Who are not major prophets. These ones are not even minor prophets. The people that people take as messengers that also stand in position to say that this is the interpretation of this, contrary to what Abraham, the messenger of later, said. They are the ones that are so that they are covering everywhere to get the people confused. Well, the prophet told us in the sermon, can't remember the sermon. We took it here in the Sunday school. The voice of the Lord in these last days. Can you remember? The voice of the Lord in these last days. The prophet said, the voice is so much that it's almost covering the true voice. He said, but we will hear that voice once again. Whose voice? The voice of the Lord. The word of God. The message of the hour. And it is only the believer that can believe, because he sent only to the believers, to the sons of God. Praise be to God. All right. Okay, let me read this other one too. 152 to 53. Paragraph. Same rapture. Now, it is the first thing. Is the sounding. The first thing is a trumpet. Well, he's trying to repeat himself, but the first thing is shout, and then a voice, and then a trumpet. Shout. Come down. Shout. A messenger getting the people ready. That's the message of Malachi 4. So the prophet is telling us in the sermon rapture that the rapture is in three stages. The shout, which is the message of the hour that we are listening to get you and I, me, ready for the rapture. For the second stage. And then, the second stage being completed, then the third stage comes. You see? Shout, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. You see? The same voice that a loud voice in St. John 11, 28, 34, that called Lazarus from the grave, that Jesus. You see? Getting the bride together, that's the message. And then the resurrection of the dead, those who are dead, who are sleeping in Christ, see, to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. The next is what? With a trump, a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the feast of trumpet is calling the people to the feast. And that will be the bride supper. You see? The bride supper, the lamb supper with the bride in the sky. Praise be to God. Three things in the message. The message first, to prepare you and me for rapture or for translation. And then the next stage, those who are sleeping, the verse of resurrection. to ask them to wake up first. For we shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive shall be changed. Are you getting that? So, the message prepares both the living and those who are sleeping. It's meant for the believers. So, when the message has prepared a man and the person sleeps, then the next thing he was waiting for, because the message, the shout has prepared him, is waiting for the what? The voice of resurrection, which is Jesus Christ, that is going to say that. And then he wakes up before we are changed. We that are alive, that are prepared by the message, then we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, but they will resurrect first. That's the second stage. The third stage is that, come up hither. We all live to meet the Lord in the air. It shows that we be with him forever. Now, the prophet told us that we are going to be there for 3.5 years, observing the loss, the marriage supper of the Lamb, after during which great tribulation will be taking place here and on the earth. And then after that, then we come for the millennium. Praise be to God. It is the message of the hour that will prepare you and me for that. No other message. Three things. The shout, which is the message of the hour. There is no any additional surrender from it is death. Anybody who claims to be a messenger to bring an interpretation is going to give death to everybody that will listen to them. Praise be to God. All right? Now, come back to the talking. So I will just go ahead with this. Are you there? The talking, 6309, the one we're reading before. Paragraph 189. The first thing when he made his preparation, he sent a prophet with a message. First thing he did to his people was sent a prophet with a message. The next thing he did to identify this prophet, he sent a pillar of fire for identification, to identify it. 191. And the third thing he sent was the token. That's exactly right. The token. What was the token meant? Assurance. First, his prophet with the message, he identified himself among with a pillar of fire with his prophet. Then he sent a token to get under this. Together under this blood, that he had accepted this substitute death in your place. Then the blood was a token that he looked, that you had had a message, believed on the pillar of fire, and had accepted the substitutionary that he had provided for you, and you were under the blood of the very chemistry of the life that went out for you. My, what a perfect thing that is. See, you are under the blood. Now you are under the Spirit. Under the Holy Spirit. See, you believe the message of the day. See, you believe the power, the pillar of fire. You believe that, see, and you do. Now, look, just to believe it is not enough. To walk around where it is isn't enough. See, that's to make yourself worse. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it sin. See those borderline believers. Jesus spoke of the same thing. Hebrews the 6th chapter. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God and count the covenant of the blood wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing. The chemistry there sanctifies. It earned the token. You see, the blood is not the token now. Then, the blood was the token then. But now, when Jesus died, his blood is not the token. It is the life that came out of that blood that is the token. And that life must come upon me, must come upon you. So, to come around the message, the prophet said, it's not enough. It's that the life that the message is to produce must come upon me and you. You see, talking now, the life is, no, yeah, the blood is not the token now, the life is the token. The life could not be there because it was an animal. The chemistry was the token. You've had to have literal blood applied on the door, but now it is the Holy Spirit. We are coming to it just in a moment to prove that it is the life that is the token. Your life has gone and you are dead, and your life is dead. You are hidden God through Christ and sealing there by the Holy Spirit. The mind that was in Christ is in you, and Christ and the Bible and the Word is the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you and the Word and God and Christ are the same. And if you abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will, it will be done. See? Paragraph 198. Put the power right into Moses' lips. No, sorry. I'm reading 20 because of our time. Israel coming out of Egypt was a type of the antitype today. The bride is the antitype. The Israel is the type. The type is the shadow. The antitype is the reality. Is the perfection. You see? Egypt was the church. And Israel represented the bride. Then, remember the prophet speaking to us. He said, Egypt was the church. Church world. While Israel represented the bride. Egypt represented the church. You see? And as Israel came out of Egypt, so does the bride come out of the church. You see it? The church today, the bride come out of the church world today, the church denomination today. That's why he said Israel was the antitype, I was the type, why the church today is the antitype. Okay? Because there has to be something there for it to come out of, and it's got to come out of. So if it was a type, the church is down in Egypt. And the world and in sin and does not care a thinker about your token. You don't even believe it. They don't even believe it. But Israel loved it, for it was salvation to them. Oh, it should make us happy. Should make our hearts. Oh, apply it, church. Now, don't fail. Will you now? Don't let the sun set. Don't rest. Day or night. Don't take no chance. It won't work, children. It won't work. You must have the token. You say, I believe. Yes, I go. Oh, yeah, I believe the message. That is all right. That is good. But you must have the token. Do you hear Christ's bread tabernacle? You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. Without the token, all our believing is in vain. Because at the end of the day, we won't go into rapture. Then, tribulation awaits. Then, final judgment. Then, to the lake of fire. That's what it means. It's in vain. Where am I? Please, where am I? Which paragraph? Okay, 203. Sorry. Yeah, I got lost in the mist here. That's why. Is it play? Yeah, see, you will live a good life. You listen to what the word says. You go to church. You try to live right. That's fine. But that's not it. When I see the blood, that is the token. Because he has to see the actual chemistry. Because the life had gone, he gone from it. It was an animal. But here, it is his own life that was in the blood. And the chemistry was only a signal or a sign of sanctification. But the life itself is the token. For without the circumcision, without the token, you are not even in the covenant. Because that is the confirmation of the covenant. Is the token. The prophet said, if a man will claim that, after all, I'm a seed of Abraham, I have the covenant of this, and when he's supposed to come inside where the blood was put on the lintel and on the doorpost, he stay outside. Yes, it's a covenant child. The prophet said, a death angel will strike him. Because it's not under the blood. That's what the prophet is saying here. We can say we believe, we do this. If we don't have the token, which is the Holy Ghost baptism, the death angels, we are subject to be stricken by death angel. You see? Chemistry. For without the circumcision, without the token, you are not even in the covenant. The whole thing works together. You see? If you say you are circumcised to the war and eat only, then you will believe the word. If you believe the word, then the token has got to come. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There you are. The Lord bless you.
So we have brought the third Exodus to conclusion. Let's bow down our heads. God bless you, sir.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful unto you for sparing our lives, giving us good health to be in your house again this first day of the week. Each time we witness this first day, remind us the day you rose from the dead. We are very grateful unto you for the message that you have sent to us at this end time. The message is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Lord, we are praying and asking, O gracious Father, we can see the signs that the prophet foretold happening on the right and left, in front and back, which is showing to us that something is at the corner. Our Master and our God, may you help every one of us to be deadly sincere and honest and take inventory of our lives, because this is the only time that we can make corrections. Lord, when the certain events take place, there be no more corrections. May you help us, O God. Thank you for your servant that you are graciously used as usual, replenishing for the virtue that has left him. Lord, those false teachings everywhere, human ideas, Lord, they are not supposed to catch a child of God, because a child of God is part of God, and he cannot stomach creed or dogma the way you have made them. We thank you. We bless your name. We appreciate you. It is true. Your word says the foundation of God started sure. The Lord knows those that are his. May you continue to walk upon those that are yours. Perfect all that concerneth them. Take glory, Lord. Take honor. We leave the rest of the services into your hands. You have laid the foundation for abundance of blessings for the remaining services that are coming. Lord, while you are blessing your people, don't pass any of us by. It's our prayers, Lord. Thank you, our Father. Bless the song leader. Bless the song leading. Bless everyone, O God. Thank you. We have come for blessing. Lord, where you are doing it, please, Master, don't pass any of us by. Because what we have need of, you are the only one that have it, Lord. We can't get it elsewhere. We want to say, like Peter said, to whom shall we go? You are the only one that have all that we have need of, from earth to glory. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is on the school report. In the adult class today, we had 126. In the adolescent class, 24. The children, 25. The total, 175. 12,814 naira was collected as the offering. 151 Bibles we have seen are counted. Lord Joshua Adewumi taught the adult class. Oluwafemi Adediji taught the adolescents. Sakisaya, as said by Adewumi, taught the children. The memory verse for the children for next week is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6.